and welcome to American Riviera Bank's Regional Pulse. This is Laurel Sykes, Chief Risk Officer with the bank. Today, my guest is Randy Berg, the Chief Human Resources Officer with Transforma USA. Welcome, Randy.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Today is going to be part of a two-part series on the local technology industry. In our next segment, we'll be joined by Paul Abramson, the bank's Chief Technology Officer, about workforce challenges in the technology industry, particularly here on the central coast of California. All right, so Randy, why don't we get started with a little bit of background on what's going on with the technology industry here on the south coast?
Thanks. Yeah, it's an exciting time on the central coast for startups in particular, and it's lovely to be able to talk about that because I don't think people understand how many incubator companies have started here and gone either to other places or are still here. So the university is a brain trust of this genius. There are, I think, six Nobel laureates that are training students and sending them both to this community and other communities to continue their research and development technology. In Santa Barbara, there are a number of exciting examples. For example, Kyocera Sora laser diode was started by Shuji Nakamura, a Nobel Prize winner who won for Blue LED. That company now makes lasers. They're a next door neighbor of ours. They have a factory in Fremont, and they have a development team here in Santa Barbara. We're similar. We have a factory in Japan and a small production facility in Taiwan, but we do our research and initial development of power chips, a very kind of tiny part of the device, but super important. And we've developed it here, and we make the main part of that here in Santa Barbara. So I think Transform is another good example of one of many of these technology companies that are changing the face of employment in the region.
That's great. And Randy, you and I know each other well from our work on the board of directors for the Santa Barbara South Coast Chamber of Commerce. And recently, the chamber has done a lot of work around things like workforce development, highlighting the hospitality industry, and most recently highlighting the technology industry, and produced a wonderful video called Techtopia. Yeah. To kind of highlight this unique segment in our marketplace. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the
sure.
work there?
The impetus was one of the UCSB staff members that works in a place called the NanoFab, which is a world-class clean room sponsored by the likes of Intel and AMD. In that NanoFab, research is done within the university, but also for those companies. Demis Johns supports that lab and does some amazing work for those people, but then training people. He noticed the frustration in the region where companies like Kyocera and Transform were stealing from each other. And we did not have a ready pool of employees that could do the kind of work we now call advanced manufacturing. Out of that desire, he collaborated with the board, he collaborated with the Chamber of Commerce and created a regional tech roundtable that brings together industry professionals from a variety of disciplines to talk about significant issues we face. Workforce development's one, housing is one, childcare, affordable childcare is another. And then the third, which was a bit of a surprise, is the electrical power supply. So Paul and I can talk about the challenges of surging electricity, perhaps at another time and in another venue. But that's an issue that we're hoping to address as a result. But where the connection that we had, Lauren, started was when we started talking about the need to help schools and parents understand that there were great jobs that didn't require a bachelor's degree. And so the focus has been, how do we help the community know what their children can do and stay in the community and make a good living? And a good living, and we're talking about, I like to use numbers, and someone out of City College can make $65,000 a year and begin a career that can go into the hundreds and even mid-hundreds as a technician. Not being an engineer necessarily, they learn the equipment or they learn the processes. So Demis's idea was we should talk about that. We've continued to talk about it, and we have a number of initiatives to help with that now.
That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit about the different types of tech companies that are here locally, from Goleta to the Carpinteria footprint.
Yeah, it's an amazing wide variety of companies, and some people will recognize LinkedIn Learning, which is a part of the LinkedIn family, which was created by Lynda, which was lynda.com, this amazing success story in the region about training online. So that company's in Carpinteria. Next to them, a company no one knows about called Agilent. Agilent does bioreagents that test for cancer. Again, it was, they might remember Dako Cytomation. Dako started in town and was bought by Agilent. So they're there, they own their building, they have all these great workers, they need people to be on site to do the work they do, because they're literally touching the tests that came in and doing tests. So it's not something you can do remotely. That's both physically and sort of intellectually in a different world than the far end of Goleta, where we're making semiconductor chips. And people love what's happened in technology with the intense change that's allowed either high power or microcomputing or lasers or LEDs to happen. But they have no idea how that happens. And it's a magic secret sauce, and they have no idea. But in a factory in Goleta, machines create this layer of special material called gallium nitride or gallium arsenic, or there are a number of other materials used that then create a device that can be used to power your computer, that can be used to light the high beams of a BMW, that can be used to create high energy lasers used for communication. Those companies tend to be about 100 people. And they're small, but they're proven, they're viable, and kind of understated. There are a couple that aren't understated. Google, the next generation of computing is being invented in Goleta, right behind what people would recognize as that Raytheon building on Hollister. The next generation of laser lights is being developed. And there are other companies in little startup nooks and crannies, and they're not telling anyone what it's the next generation of. And so that's kind of exciting.
And what in your opinion has attracted so many technology companies to this area?
Sure. The reef, so to speak, that draws people here is the university, but it's the university and the physical region. So you talk, many of us know this story, right? You got here by accident, some on vacation, some at the university, and they didn't want to leave. So there's that story. I think that's probably what happened to our Chumash ancestors. Like, they were coming down the coast and said, why would I go any farther? And they parked. So there's that. But then the university, after World War II, the little college turned into a world-class university that has number one status in research in a few areas, materials and electronics being primary amongst them. So physics, electronics, and materials. That combination of research is creating novel applications that aren't happening anywhere else in the world. Gallium nitride is one of them. Who knows about GaN? Only a few of my geek colleagues and I know about this material. But it's what made an LED bright enough for us to use them everywhere now. And that's why Dr. Nakamura won the Nobel Prize for that, because it changed the world. So his colleagues are hoping to change the world with these other technologies. And so having the university open to having their professors spin off ideas, and the university quite literally allowing the intellectual property to be used on both for their benefit and the benefit of the marketplace, has then created a region that's compact, but not so different than, say, Stanford, where the area is much bigger and they have bigger factories. But we have this small region that creates these incubator companies.
And are the technology companies seeing anything change with the whole COVID move to hybrid and remote work environment? Or do you see a lot of these companies still being on site in facilities?
Yeah, so many companies I haven't touched on the other range of companies. And so forgive me, my software friends, for the companies like AppFolio, Yardi, huge, significant companies, Procore, very big companies doing amazing work. They got the benefit of working from anywhere, not just home. Like they were working from Europe. One day you found out people moved there, right? These crazy things were happening. But for us, we have to touch our parts. We have to test our parts. We have to make sure that the data we see is coming from clean sources. So the manufacturing sector that we started talking about, advanced manufacturing, needs to be on site for that component. What was interesting in the story I share about what happened during COVID is those workers didn't want the rest of the world to come back to the office. They liked having their little cocoon, and they would come with their mask on. They would work all day in quiet isolation and go home. And one of the managers told me he hadn't had a cold in 2 years. He liked not having people around the office, right? So that was one benefit of having the part that needed to be on site. But the rest of us learned that we can do quite a lot of our work from home. And now what's happening is the debate amongst leaders that I talk to is what's the right balance? Because there is some balance. Having a meeting like this, we could be in three different places and have a podcast, but I like looking at you. Yeah. Right? There's the dynamic.
There's the dynamic connection.
Of setting the stage. There's the pre-conversation. There's the post-conversation. And as an HR person, I think that pre-conversation, post-conversation components of our work are the glue. The work is interesting and we do that, but the glue is, how are your kids? What was your vacation like? And you don't get that as often. People are learning to try and do that, but it's hard when the meeting goes dark, right? To sit around and chat. So now people are moving to some model. The news doesn't accurately represent the marketplace, I don't think, because thoughtful companies are taking steps thoughtfully and not making big pronouncements. So we never made a pronouncement. You had to be here or had to go away, or we gave your office away so we could hotel. And now today we're having our first all hands with people there in 3 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of the pre-conversation, you and I were chatting a little bit before about how being here on the Central Coast, but having employees everywhere, how you do these all hands meetings, and is that something that changed during COVID, or did you get better at it because there was more of a push to remote and Zoom or whatever your
the tool of choice?
Yeah,
some good and some bad. In our workplace, we're, because semiconductor chips, which is the world I live in, are a world-class endeavor. I mean, worldwide endeavor. We have employees in eight countries. And we got better at having meetings and asking questions and doing surveys. But I still think we missed having people get together now and then to have the conversation, to have a pizza, to just chat about what life's like. And then what happens in those conversations about vacations is like, but what else is happening at work that we might do in a more clever way? So I think we did get better at the tools, but I think we missed the personal side. And now we're trying to find our pace of how to do both.
It's got to be challenging in HR having to think about hiring from all of these different locations. Where do you typically source your talent?
We have people that are doing the production, and we need them to be here because they drive in every day. And but even then, it's not necessarily Santa Barbara. They're part of the Oxnard kind of commute that clogs up the freeway. A few from North County, but very few live in Santa Barbara.
Because of the cost of living you talked about earlier.
Yeah, it's really hard, right? Yeah. It's hard to live here. People are willing to trade the hour each way. So we're that's not uncommon. We were able to move some engineers here. And so we did bring some people to the region. But then we hired some people that don't live here and don't ever plan to live here and now have a regular rhythm of coming down on some cadence. And one of the workers in IT decided to live in Colorado. So we do our systems administration from a kind of a cowboy village in southern Colorado.
Oh, that's great.
Who would have thought that could be possible? But it's possible. We're doing it. Yeah. So it is different. And there's still a healthy debate about when do you say you have to be here and when do you say we can live without that? And I think it's got to be organic to the company. Edicts, I think, make great headlines, but they don't make a great business environment.
In terms of technology companies that might be coming to the area, are you seeing that slowing down at all? Are you seeing that pick up?
That's a really hard thing to track. So the companies that are here in this incubator status I mentioned generally start here. And what happens is an idea from a lab, from some research work, turns into, I think we can sell this. So it goes through an incubator stage where there are small office spaces, and there are three or four of these in town where five people will rent offices and then use the UCSB NanoFab or some shared workspace to create code. If they're writing code, they might do it from home. They might do it from a shared workspace. If they're making a device, they would use UCSB. That continues to grow. But you can't track it. Some are so stealthy, they don't have their business license yet, right? They just sort of have this idea. They call it graduate work, and then it migrates into, okay, now we have a business and we're going to be paid and we're going to figure out how to do that. But still not necessarily on anyone's radar. And then once it gets to be maybe a dozen, but even still, engineers don't tend to necessarily join the chamber like you and I, Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Randy, you mentioned that one of the reasons that technology tends to flock here is the proximity to the university and, you know, just the physical presence and physical region here. Talk to me a little bit about what's going on with all the recent investments in the space program here.
Oh, man. So sorry, my spaceport friends. The North County has become right behind Cape Canaveral, the major spaceport of the world. And not only big rockets, but rockets that are launching multiple satellites. And so the workers that are fueling that system, as well as putting it together, then some places where they're designing those kinds of satellites are all happening in Santa Barbara. The spaceport is creating a number of jobs that will only expand. Spaceport housed at Lompoc, which is now establishing its own identity on the world stage, is launching satellites that are changing the telecommunication world, as well as experimenting with things less known about super fast rocket flight. So it's an exciting time for those in North County, more, I think, than South County, right? That people keeping the rockets fueled to keep the launch pad up, to keep the electronics and telemetry working, are all happening in North County. Also, the provider of NASA-launched rockets is in North County. This company does, like, all the communications from the 1098-76 to what's happening in Houston, we have a problem, are happening through technology invented by a team of people in North County. So there's an amazing set of companies that are, I think, going to continue to only thrive, grow, and then the subsets.
Right. You know, what's funny, too, is the only reason I'm here in the Central Coast is because of the space program. Oh. My grandfather was in Florida, and he was one of the engineers that helped put the first monkey in space.
Okay.
So he did the Gemini and the Mercury missions, and then he was moved here to Vandenberg Village. And my father started attending San Ynez High School and met my mother there. So,
there you go. And here you are.
And here I am.
I love that story.
I am a function of the space program myself.
And what's interesting now is it's only getting momentum, right? Yeah. And so a lovely organization called REACH has worked very hard. It's kind of a regional chamber of commerce. And that organization has worked very hard to make federal and state legislators aware of the opportunities and the needs. REACH is also very involved in workforce development. And trying to, and supporting what's happening in the Santa Maria region school districts to help students know that while their parents may have worked very hard to get an ag job and get them through school, they have jobs putting people in space if they want to go through their vocational ed programs that North County is putting together. And the same is, I think, that's our model down here in the South County. How can we help people whose parents have worked very hard to get them here, understand that there's a whole new world that people wouldn't even know about. And so that's, to me, an exciting challenge to communicate.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention tech in our own company. So one of our board members is part of HG Insights, you know, big data intelligence.
That's right.
Elizabeth Chowowski.
I do know Elizabeth. Yeah.
who is also our vice chair, our newly elected vice chair for the board of directors. So,
And woman of the year, I think.
Woman of the year, yes. She's awesome. She's been a fantastic asset to the bank for sure.
Yeah. So the technology, and we've left off, like Elizabeth's company is another technology company, mm-hmm. and related in that it's a data analytics, taking mm-hmm. big data and helping companies around the world take that big data and use it in a way that's actionable for their sales team. Mm-hmm. And so those kinds of companies exist, and they exist in the Funk Zone where her office is, but there's companies out in Goleta as well.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Randy, and thank you to our listeners for joining us. I think now is probably a good time to take a pause and start our next segment, which will be more around the workforce development efforts that you're helping with, along with the Santa Barbara South Coast Chamber and UCSB, and a little bit about challenges in hiring with the cost of living here on the Central Coast. If any of our listeners would like to learn more about American Riviera Bank, you can visit us at americanriviera.bank. And thanks again for listening. We'll be back again.